And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. And no, it's not Big Brother. Number two, socks and pencils. I love it. Socks and pencils. Also, we're going to look at what it's really about in regards to life. And you're going to find out that's making decisions. And we're going to examine the partnership principle.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation except for Kentucky Fried Chicken, honey mustard chicken, which I had yesterday. And why? Why is that not part of our conversation? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Just want to give a shout out to Laura and say hi. Hi, Laura. Just want to say hi. If you are interested in sending an email, you can do so at davidspoon@kprz.com. Plus, don't forget, if you want to check out the book, hisappointment.com, you have to go to hisappointment.com to find out about the book, hisappointment.com, which actually is entitled Church Disappointment, His Appointment, but we just call it hisappointment.com because it's easier. Thanks. We're getting ready to get into our four set. You're thinking, what's a four set? You're going to find out in just a second. I think we have an opening sound with this. We do, in fact. Let's roll with what we've got.
Expect the unexpected, right? Right? Always sounds like good advice. Except, of course, if you are expecting the unexpected, then, well, then it really isn't unexpected anymore, is it?
There you go. Expect the unexpected. Unless you're expecting the expected, then you'll be unexpecting the expected that has been expected, which is unexpected. Let's get into it. Luke chapter 5. We're going to start with verses 1 through 4 first. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of the Gennesaret. It's Gennesaret, but that's okay. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he finished, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Wow. Sea of Galilee is where this took place. Tiberias Sea, also known as the Sea of Galilee. So when Jesus was sitting in that water's edge, he asked for the boat to be pushed out a little. What would happen, for those that don't know, is this would be an instant amphitheater with Jesus on the water and then the shoreline surrounding him in a sea formation. Just so you can also know, this Sea of Galilee is where Jesus called the disciples originally, also where Jesus had walked on the water, where Jesus had fed the 5,000. It's also the place where Peter was restored. A lot of stuff happened in this location. The Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake of Gennesaret. A lot of stuff. And so you look at verse 1 through 3, and Jesus wants to talk to the people. He's got this instant amphitheater. And when he's done talking to people, keep in mind he's not very far from shore, right? Because he couldn't be really far from shore and do the little instant amphitheater thing. It'd be kind of close. So he's talking, and that's great. And then in verse 4, he's finished speaking, and he turns to Simon. And he says, "Hey, do me a favor, put out in the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, what would you do if God said to you, "Hey, write a $100 check. I know you only have $110 left. Write a $100 check. I'm going to bless you tenfold." You'd be like, "Wait, that only leaves me 10 bucks." Well, the first thing we would be doing is questioning. And that's what happens a lot when the Lord gives us this command to have an expectation. You see, expectation is encouraged by God. It's not the expectation that God's going to take a hammer and smack you in the head. It's the expectation that God is going to bless you, be with you, guide you, direct you, teach you, and help supply for you. You see, here's the big problem. The big problem is too many of us had moms and dads that were stingy. That's a reality. Maybe they did give you a lot of love, but boy, to get an extra French fry took a long time. Or maybe you had somebody in your life that's significant and they're stingy. Maybe it's an authority figure, and maybe it's a teacher who really was impacting in your life but was stingy. Or maybe it's just the world's way of portraying God, but by the time it's all said and done, there's these false images of God like he is the Grinch. Or that you've got to pry, and I've talked to you about this last week, you got to pry away an answer of prayer from the hand of God. As though that is the mindset of God. Let me share with you out of Mark what the mindset of God is. In the morning as they went along, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." There is a call from God for you and I to operate in expectation. The problem is because some of us have a warped image of God, we expect disaster. Because we've gone through one really big trial, And it's been overwhelming for us. We just think, well, the next thing is going to be this kind of trial. The next thing is going to be this kind of trial. We talked about Tugboat and Ty. I talked about last week that through the midst of the children of Israel and the world going through a famine, which is the worst thing that could ever happen, in the middle of the famine, God created a nation called Israel. God takes the worst of the things and turns it into something you have no idea. And no, it doesn't happen in an hourly basis. It doesn't happen on a weekly or monthly basis. But there should be still within each of us an expectation of God doing stuff. Just tell me one time where Jesus got up and met with the people and did nothing. Oh, look, it's Jesus. Oh, look, he's coming into the village. Oh, look, he's going to that pile of hay. Look, he took a piece of hay and put it in his mouth. Look, he's laying down. All right, Jesus, time for teaching. Sorry, I ain't teaching today. Just feel like sitting around doing nothing. Leave me alone. That is how many of us think God is. We think it's Jesus who's tired and taking a day off and not talking. Got nothing to say. He's got nothing to do. That's all Jesus did was do stuff, say stuff, teach stuff, demonstrate stuff. There should be an expectation that you and I have that is powerful for the engagements that we have with God. We've talked about Hudson Taylor. Wouldn't even pray for wind until the captain of the ship put up the sails. Because he believed that if he didn't put the sails up, he wasn't expecting an answer. You want me to pray for wind? You're not putting the sails up? Well, yeah, we don't typically put the sails up till the wind gets going. You put the sails up, or you're not expecting anything. Ah, that's what you and I got to do. We got to put those sails up. We got to have an expectation that is equal to that which Scripture demonstrates. We are anticipating disaster because we go to our mailbox and it's rare that something comes out of there that's good. Well, God's not your mailbox. All right? He loves you enough where he sent Jesus Christ to die for you before you did anything good. He's already on the major plus, plus, plus side there. So why is it going to go from that point to worse? Well, that doesn't make any sense. What makes sense is to us to kind of get in sync with God. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Here's my question. What's the next thing that God's going to bring your way that you need to be prepared to catch? What's your next catch in God? What are you going to catch next? And instead of you letting you give the answer that the enemy tries to give you, which the enemy is just saying, disaster, you're going to catch disaster. Why don't you get in sync with God? Because the catch that Jesus is talking about is a powerful, life-changing catch. Where's the expectation that he has, quote-unquote, earned, or that he, quote-unquote, deserves? Should we not anticipate from God the graciousness by which he has engaged with us in all things? Maybe it doesn't look that way to start with. I get that. We'll cover that in a little bit. But shouldn't we be a believing people that which is coming from God is an awesome catch? Put the nets down. And let's see what the catch is. When we come back, we're going to examine what Peter thought the catch might be and see if that lines up with some of the struggles we go through. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
God's free gift to us cost him dearly.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by James Banks. James writes, "When I was 12 years old, my family moved to a town in the desert. After gym classes and the hot air at my new school, we rushed for the drinking fountain.
Being skinny and young for my grade, I sometimes got pushed out of the way while waiting in line. One day my friend Jose, who was big and strong for his age, saw this happening. He stepped in and stuck out a strong arm to clear my way. "Hey," he exclaimed, "you let Banks get a drink first." I never had trouble at the drinking fountain again. James continues, Jesus understood what it was like to face the ultimate unkindness of others. The Bible tells us he was despised and rejected by mankind. But Jesus was not just a victim of suffering, he also became our advocate. By giving his life, Jesus opened a new and living way for us to enter into a relationship with God. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves, offering us the free gift of salvation when we repent of our sins and trust in him. Jesus is the best friend we could ever have. He said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Others may hold us at arm's length or even push us away, but God has opened his arms to us through the cross. How strong is our Savior? Reach for God's Word any time of the day with the new Our Daily Bread mobile app, or receive the print version at home for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about one possible reason the president brought up spying at Trump Tower.
You know, he's kind of been out there ahead, and a lot of people tried to walk some of these things back about Trump Towers being spied on. Now evidence coming out to suggest that he was right. Apparently he had this information or somehow got wind of it. I don't think he's a black helicopter guy that's just waiting, you know, thinking that there's all these conspiracies. Actually, what I think he's doing is that he is pulling back the curtain on a lot of the corruption and questionable things that have been going on in our government. And I'm glad he's doing it. You know, the best, as they said, the best disinfectant is sunlight. And maybe they'll open the curtains at the White House and let some of the sunshine in so we can see exactly what's been happening in our nation's capital.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I'm changing to a servant of God. All I've got is...
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Having a good time talking about expectation or lack thereof of expectation. The last segment we just did was called, in fact, Expect the Unexpected. Now we're going to get into this next segment, the follow-up segment, actually Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And the title of this one is called Socks and Pencils.
Pencils ready.
Socks. Remember to change your socks whenever we stop.
Okay, socks and pencils, or pencils and socks. So we talked about that Jesus asked Peter to put his boat out for a little bit. So Peter complied, and Jesus was able to speak to the crowd in kind of an amphitheater-style scenario. On the Lake of Gennesaret. And so he was able to talk to everybody. And then he said to Peter in verse 4, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So I just want you to understand what's going on there. So Peter, you're going to find out, he's been working hard all night. They didn't catch anything. The best fishing was at night. And they would work all night and really work hard. And they were cleaning the nets. And Jesus said, hey, let me push out one of these boats and teach the people. And it was like, okie dokie, we'll let you do that. And then when Jesus was done teaching, he turned to Peter and he said, go back out into the water. And you're going to have a big catch. Ready for a big catch? And Peter had a very interesting response. I thought it was very human, very normal. And I think Scripture does this on purpose. So you and I can recognize that the people that walk with Jesus were not super duper Captain Fantastico people. They were just like you and me. And so Simon responds to Jesus as, Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. Now, there is not a lot of wit and wisdom here to be pulled. This is simply Peter going, okay, we just worked all night because fishing is at night. The best fishing is at night. And we let you use the boat. We like you so much. I mean, you're fantastic. You've done all these wonderful miracles. And look, you know, you're even using our boat to teach. Totally awesome. We got no problem with that. And now you're like going, okay, go back out. And we're like, what? And so Peter's response is not different than most of us. It's the cry of humanity. It's the moment of disappointment where you turn to the Lord and you go, really? Now, you might not say that to God that way, and I understand that you might not say it that way, but you can't deny that you haven't encountered that, or you're going to be the only person on the planet who has. Except for Jesus Christ, every human being has come across this. Let me help you out with a scripture in Proverbs. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Do you know what that means? That means that when you're anticipating something and nothing comes of it, your heart has a boo-boo. Your heart has the sniffles. When you get home and you're expecting to go to In-N-Out and then a relative stops by and they want to go to Denny's, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? It's like, what? Right? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Let me give you an illustration you can fully understand. I don't endorse you watching the show, but that doesn't mean I can't utilize elements of the show. On a show that takes place on Saturday, and it's usually at the nighttime, and it's usually not called taped, there was a skit. And in the skit, Santa Claus, it's a skit, folks. Santa Claus, that's Satan spelled backwards. Go back into the dungeon. When Santa Claus gets sick, who does he call to help him deliver all the presents? Do you remember? Remember? Don't remember? Hanukkah Harry. Hanukkah Harry is subbing for Santa. And so Hanukkah Harry is going to substitute for Santa, helping him out because he's a nice guy. So you got Hanukkah Harry, you got Santa, and then Santa's like, can you help me out? I'm sick. Hanukkah Harry goes, sure. He goes to where the kids are. He goes into this one family. The kids have their little milk and cookies out. Hanukkah Harry walks in. He's a Hasidic Jew, just to let you know. He walks in, and the kids are all like, Santa, Santa. And then Hanukkah Harry goes, nope, it's me, Hanukkah Harry. Santa's sick, so I'm filling in. He goes, let's see what I have for you kids. Now, they're expecting a sled, Barbie dolls, right? A wagon, right? You're talking about, you know, Gumbies, this kind of thing, whatever. Hanukkah Harry pulls out, ready? Socks and pencils. That's right. Socks and pencils. You can never have enough socks, and you're always looking for pencils. So the kids were like, oh, that's how we act with God. It's that God is not performing or providing to our level of satisfaction, and we don't like it. And many of us don't like God's timing. Have you noticed, as a Christian, God's timing is that 11th hour timing. People say it all the time. He's an 11th hour God. I've heard that phrase for 40 years. Like, just before you think it's all going to blow up, at the last minute possible, the Lord steps in. I've had that happen in my life. Guess what we don't like? The timing. Guess what else we don't like? The method. We don't like the method. See, here's Peter. Peter's telling Jesus, you know, the best fishing's at night, right? You know that, right? That's what he's saying to him. You understand that, right? That he's like saying, you know, the better fishing was earlier. Going out fishing now doesn't seem like a good idea. What am I doing? Why are you making me do this? This is no different than Martha and Mary and the Jewish guilt they tried to drop on Jesus When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Verse 32, which is 12 verses later, Mary reached him. She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Martha and Mary didn't like the method or the timing that God used in bringing about his miracle in Lazarus's life. We often don't like the way that God does it or the timing that he delivers it when we're dealing with God, and sometimes we treat it like it's socks and pencils. Well, I was really expecting a sled, Lord, you know. Where's my G.I. Joe? This is a pencil. That is how we respond. Like there's this disappointment in how God will coordinate our answers to prayer. I will tell you one lesson I learned. It was one of the worst lessons, that God answers prayer, but he doesn't tell me that he's going to do it the way that I prayed it. In other words, when you pray and you ask the Lord to do something, it's not our job to tell God what the proper timing or the proper method is, because that's what makes him sovereign and us not. So instead of being disappointed, or instead of conceding in our mind the insanity that we're disappointed with the level of satisfaction to God's timing and method, we need to have a different approach. And many people go through that thinking, well, God's going to do it this way. I took this job, it should be this. I took this position, it should be this. I'm with this person, it should be this. Well, that's great that you think it should be. That's fantastic that I think it should be that. Let's find out what God wants. How often is his opinion different than ours? I don't know. I mean, do you think God really has to line up with your opinion? Socks and pencils? So you get what I'm going with? You get what we're going with this? All right. Here's what we're going to do. When we're going to come back, we're going to look at what we need to do to push past socks and pencils. You can't get stuck there. Otherwise, it'll just be a lousy Christmas, right? You got to push past socks and pencils. And when we get back, we're going to look at how you go about doing that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. It's breaking me in two.
David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
This definition of diplomacy seems very practical. Diplomacy is the art of keeping your shirt on while getting something off your chest. In other words, when emotions get out of control, any attempt at genuine communication can be lost. Two biblical principles of communication support this definition of diplomacy. First, the New Testament says to speak the truth in love. And second, do not let your anger or any other emotion cross the line and become sinful or self-serving. When truth is presented with love and tenderness, and when we are more concerned about the other person than ourselves, we have a good chance at success. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's ways to communicate on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Pastor Ray Bentley invites you to celebrate Easter with the family at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego.
He is risen just as he said.
Discover what Easter means.
It means that right here on earth, you can begin tasting and experiencing resurrection power.
And Pastor Ray welcomes a special music guest, Sarah Groves.
The hedge of grace reaches down.
Easter at Maranatha Chapel with Pastor Ray Bentley. Join us for a Good Friday service at noon, then four Easter services to choose from. Saturday evening at 6 and Sunday morning at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30 with special music by Sarah Groves. Maranatha Chapel Easter weekend, April 14th through 16th. For details and directions, go to maranathachapel.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Son of God, you are the Prince of Peace, you are the King.
Welcome back Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Socks and pencils. Unfortunately, when I think of that, I think not just Hanukkah Harry, but I think of the cat, Socks, the driving cat.
There was a really funny video of a kid last Christmas. I was a little girl, and the parents wrapped up random things like a stapler, avocado, just random things. And she was like 4 or 5. And for everything she opened up, she did a really good job of, oh, an avocado. I always wanted an avocado. And then opened up a ruler. I was like, oh, bless her heart. She's going through the act of acting like she really likes these things.
That's classic.
We all do it, too.
Oh, sure. I mean, I've gotten wonderful things. It is true that there's only one fruitcake in all the world. It just gets passed to everybody somehow. It's just some weird thing. Anyhow, we were talking about expecting the unexpected, and then we talked about socks and pencils. You're thinking, why do you do that? Why not? See, I remember that Ziggy cartoon. Why? Why not? All right, so what happens is Jesus, he's teaching, then he tells Peter, hey, put the nets out, go out into the deep water. Peter's like, really? I mean, you know, We've been working all night, you know, that's kind of tough. But then listen to what Peter says after he says that, because it's true that he comes back with a great response. In verse 5, it says, Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. The second half of the verse. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Wow. So let's make sure we know what's going on. So you've got Jesus teaching at the Sea of Galilee, at the Lake of Gennesaret, and he's teaching this entire crowd using Peter's boat, and then he tells Peter, hey, let's go back out into the water, and Peter's like, oh, we just spent all night doing this. But in the second half of the verse, he says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets, which is why this is titled, it's really about making a decision. It's really about making a decision. So even though our expectation can be a little quirky, we have to make a decision, listen to what I'm saying, we have to make a decision to trust God regardless of what we see. We have to make a decision, get this, this is so important. We have to consciously make a decision to trust God. And we have to consciously make a decision to trust God regardless of what we see. There's three things there. So when Peter said, because you say so, he was laying it out. He was like, I don't want to do this. I'm tired. I mean, if you don't think he's tired after working all night, something's wrong. He's tired. And he's like, oh, he's going to go back out into the deep. And is like, oh, okay. And so he makes a decision to trust Jesus, regardless of what he sees. I could just do 5 hours on that right in a row. Do we trust God? Do we make the decision to trust God, regardless of what we're seeing and how we look at the circumstance? You know, how you and I perceive a circumstance has value, but doesn't have the value that it has as God sees it. What you think of it and what I think of it can be important, but not on the same scale as what God declares it. And there's a big difference. So how I feel about it and how you feel about it and how everybody feels about it, how the neighbor feels about it, wow, that's all about how your spouse feels about it, your kids feel about it, your coworkers feel about it, all that's great. But really what counts is how God sees it. That's what counts. So Peter, in that moment, does something that is just outstanding. I look at Peter and I think I'm like that when he does those dumb things and says the dumb things. And then he does these just amazing gold filled statements and movements that just show what his faith really was. He goes, because you say so, because you're saying so, I'm going to do it anyway. There's three things that come out of that. One, Peter doing a pretty good job at that moment, understanding that God's word is gold.
Number two, he's walking by faith and not by sight. And number three, he's kind of walking in that Job element where he's like, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Even though I can't see what's going on, even though it seems like it's killing me, even though it hurts, I'm going to make a decision to trust God. I'm going to trust him because I can't really do much else. Remember, Peter has already thrown in his lot. He's already made his commitment into the kingdom of God. And now Jesus asks him to do something that's kind of nutty from his profession point of view. But who knows about his profession more, him or God? So he makes a conscious decision to trust God. That's the first thing I'll ask you. Will you, I'm trying, and I'm hoping you're with me in this. Will you, and will you pray for me too, to in these circumstances that we encounter, make a conscious decision to trust God, regardless of what we see? Will you pray for me? I'll pray for you that it would be based on because you say so. And that would be the reason that we do it. Because God's word is gold. And because we walk by faith and not by sight. And even if God slays us, we should be trusting him, just like Job said. Now, what happens for Peter when he takes Jesus at his word? Verses 6 through 7. When they had done so they did what he asked, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is reaping beyond what they could have ever done in the natural, ever. They never caught so many fish that their boat was sinking, let alone got so many fish in the drag and the pull of the nets that their partners came with their boat. And both boats were so full, they were beginning to sink. Never in the natural. Never happened. That's a dream come true, isn't it? For fishermen. For partners with two boats. We want to catch so many fish, our boats sink. How often do you think they experienced that before this moment? Never, right? So think about it in those terms. Think about it from that point of view. The result of Peter obeying Jesus was abundant fruit. Here it is. Here it is. The big shocker. Ready for the big shocker? Here it is. God comes through. What? What? God comes through? What? And there he comes through. See, we're pretty goofy people. We ask God to do stuff, and then he does it way beyond what we think or ask, and then we're just sitting there scratching our head going, what happened? I mean, that's what we do. We're like that. It's like Acts chapter 12. You know that when Peter's in prison and the church is earnestly praying for him, then God delivers him from prison, but nobody who was praying for him believed it. That's what we do all the time. We pray for something, and God answers it beyond what we think, and we're like, no, that's not God. There's something going on. Like, really? Didn't you just pray about that? Doesn't that matter? And if you look at verse 8 and 9, which is significant in this process, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. One of the fantastic things is when God's work is in process, it is astonishing. But second, God's work revealing that Peter is unworthy because he's seeing how awesome God is. And the closer you and I get to God, the more you recognize, yeah, I am not worthy of any of this. I'm not worthy of any grace, let alone grace upon grace. And that's what the Lord pours out on us. Now, you're sitting there thinking, but why does he do that? Because he loves you. Well, why doesn't he do it all the time? Because he loves you. because you think it should happen all the time doesn't mean it should happen all the time. Because I think it should happen all the time doesn't mean it should happen all the time. That's part of that decision to trust God regardless of what we see. We're just going to say, no, your word is gold. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I mean, it really is about making a decision and standing in that decision. It really is. And it's about making that decision, get this, as a Christian, every single day in every circumstance. That's what's hard. Because you and I have these brilliant moments. Yes, I will stand firm and believe God. And then we get through it. And then the next moment comes. And then we go to God, what have you done for me lately? That's what we do. That's not the way to do it. Because there's abundant fruit when we're obedient to God, even if we don't understand point A to point Z, which is okay because Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, which is essentially the A to Z. So you don't have to understand A to Z. You just got to know who is A to Z and make sure you're connected. That's what you got to do. That's what I got to do. A conscious decision to trust God regardless of what we see. When we come back, we're going to deal with the partnership principle. It's a little fascinating as we close out this story. I hope it's good for you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Does your family know what Easter is all about?
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. Today is Monday, April 10th.
Growing up, Easter basically just meant going to the local park and doing Easter egg hunts. We never did anything as far as viewing it as anything other than just a fun day to go out and there's Easter bunnies and colored eggs.
A lot of families are like that young man's. You know, Easter is all about chocolate bunnies, new shoes, dresses, and outfits. In fact, many students today on the college campus, now we're talking about well-educated young people, well, they don't even know what the Easter holiday is all about. It's really quite simple. Holy Week centers in on events leading up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For Christians, it's the pivotal event in all of human history. If you want to read more about it, or maybe you need a refresher course, why don't you grab your Bible, even if you do have to blow some of the dust off of it, and turn to Luke chapter 19. One final thought. Don't let another Easter arrive this Sunday without your family reviewing the greatest story ever told. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
So what is social justice? Or perhaps a better question is, what has it become? This is Jim Garlow. Social justice was at one point a good phrase used over 100 years ago by scholars to describe dealing with some of the inequities in our culture. But over time, the word has become co-opted to become a tool, a manipulating tool, I would contend, for socialism. It's where we take from those who are successful and steal their goods and give to those who are not. That's called theft. Now, the Bible does advocate biblical justice. What is biblical justice? That's where we care for the poor. That's where we care for the disenfranchised, the downtrodden, the widow, the orphan. Social justice? No, it's not a good word anymore, tragically. Biblical justice? Yes, and we believe in that. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Shout out to Ron for doing me a favor. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it very much, sir. Let's see. We've been talking about expecting the unexpected. Our first segment had to do with expecting the unexpected. Then we talked about sometimes in our expectation having the wrong image of God, thinking God is stingy. And, you know, having an attitude of disappointment with the timing and the method that God uses in our lives. And we use the illustration of socks and pencils because it was funny, but helpful. And then we talked about the reality that Peter, in his experience with Jesus, though he was disappointed and though he was tired, decided that he was going to, in fact, make a decision to trust in God regardless of what he saw, and said, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And as soon as he did that in response to the Lord, he had such a blessing poured out in his direction. It was beyond the natural realm of blessing by responding and yielding and making a decision to God to trust him. The trust paid off. In fact, if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you're trusting that when you die, he will be there. And isn't that the process? You're doing that. So it's not something you don't do. You do it. We just need to do it more often and in our circumstance is where I'm heading with that. So in that process, after Peter saw the wonderful blessing that was poured out, that was poured upon him because he decided to make a decision and trust in God, regardless of what he saw and regardless of what he experienced, because of that, he sensed this great, you know, that great divinity of Jesus Christ and felt just unworthy and said to Jesus, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. And I have encountered one thing, I was writing about this in my journal, one thing over and over again, and that is the moments that I get closest to the Lord are also, they're not just joyous times, but they are, but they're also moments when I recognize I am the most sinful, because the closer you get to the Lord and the closer you get to him in his purity, the more sinfulness appears that's in me. And I think that's a normal process, which is exactly what Peter's talking about. Oh, my goodness, I'm right in the presence of God. What a sinful person I am. And he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. They were astonished at the catch of fish, the Bible says in verse 10. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. For those that do not know, Simon and Andrew were brothers. James and John were brothers. The four of them were fishermen. And James and John were partners with Simon and Andrew. So if you're thinking that all these people that Jesus brought together were disconnected, you're wrong. These were four partners, two separate partners, you know, fish companies, so to speak, in one partnership. After that, Jesus said to Simon, he says to Peter, after Peter goes, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And so they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. So here is something that you get to see. There's three quick elements, superbly cool. In verse 10, it's the divine commitment. Peter says, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus goes, don't be afraid, because I'm not leaving you. And from now on, you're going to catch people. And in saying he's going to catch people, Jesus is saying, don't even be afraid, because I'm not leaving you. And we're going to work together, Peter. You and I are going to work together. So the divine commitment, when Peter said, go away from me, I'm a sinner, was Jesus saying, don't be afraid of that. I'm not leaving you. And from now on, we're going to work together in a partnership. That's the divine commitment. Now, the human commitment is in verse 11. They pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything and followed him. The human commitment was the proper response, which was making the pursuit of Jesus their highest priority. And to be 100% committed to following Jesus. So the divine commitment is, I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. You don't need to be afraid. And from now on, we're going to work together. The human commitment is they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. They made Jesus their highest priority. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And they made 100% commitment to following Jesus, to love God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. So at the end of this story, you have the divine commitment and you have the human commitment. The divine commitment, I'm not leaving you, and we're going to work together, a partnership. The human commitment, I'm going to yield everything to you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you and be 100% committed. And we're told, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. In this country, it's so much harder for people because money becomes such an issue and finances are such an issue and the economy is such an issue. You think it's by accident the economy draws people away from God? You think that's by accident? Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus knew what the warfare was going to be. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Forewarned us, makes a commitment. I'll never leave you. I will work with you together always. Our commitment, we're 100% in. We give up everything. We follow you. That's the partnership principle. From expectation to eternal connection. That's how we ought to be walking it all the time. Even 1 ounce better, folks, will be an improvement. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ.